food bloggers. Hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Eat Blog Talk podcast. This is the place for food bloggers to get information and inspiration to accelerate your blog's growth and ultimately help you to achieve your freedom, whether that's financial, personal, or professional. I'm Megan Porta. I have been a food blogger for 13 years, so I understand how isolating food blogging can be. I'm on a mission to motivate, inspire, and most importantly, let each and every food blogger, including you, know that you are heard and supported. One of my favorite things is learning from food bloggers who have been on their journeys and who have made a lot of mistakes, because there are always lessons and growth opportunities that come from those mistakes. Samantha Blake from Samantha Digital joins me inside this interview to talk about the mistakes she made as a food blogger. Her food blog is put on hold for a little bit while she builds up her web design and SEO business, but she's going to get back to food blogging soon. She imparts some really important lessons that she learned when she was food blogging that we can definitely learn from, including not niching down, having poor keyword research strategies, pursuing different SEO strategies at the same time, wasting time on your blog design, and she presents a handful of other things that we can definitely learn from. I hope you love the episode. It is number 513, sponsored by RankIQ. eBlog Talk is thrilled to unveil the eBlog Talk Accountability Group, an exclusive community made for food bloggers who crave accountability, focus, and connection. We understand that not everyone is ready to dive into the Mini Minds group or the Masterminds program. That is why we've crafted this special offering for bloggers like you who want that extra push toward their aspirations but aren't yet able to make the financial or time commitment. Here's what the eBlog Talk Accountability Group has in store for you for this low introductory price of $34 a month. This ongoing membership has its own private Slack channel. You will gain access to a dedicated channel facilitated by the community manager at eBlog Talk, Taryn Soli, for questions, insights, and collaboration. You will get weekly accountability check-ins so you can stay focused and motivated with those weekly check-ins in Slack to track and achieve your goals confidently. You will have access to productivity focus sessions. Join these optional live Zoom sessions twice a week to boost your productivity by working alongside your peers and tapping into that collective energy. And you will get monthly group Zoom calls replacing the former Clubhouse chats. Join these calls to connect, discuss current topics, share experiences, and celebrate achievements. Those calls will be hosted by me, Megan Porta, and I can't wait to see some of you there. If this sounds intriguing, head over to eblogtalk.com/focus to sign up today. eblogtalk.com/focus. Sam began a web design and SEO business after food blogging didn't go as planned for her. While she still enjoys cooking and baking as a hobby, she learned she truly had a love for web design and SEO when it comes to business. Sam particularly loves designing and developing websites and coming up with SEO strategies for food bloggers. It's the best of both worlds. She loves sharing her experience and knowledge about SEO to help more food bloggers grow their blogs. Hello, Samantha. Thanks for joining me today. How are you?
Hi, Megan. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I am excited to chat about your food blogging mistakes and how we can learn from you. I think we learn best from hearing about those unfortunate mistakes. They turn into good things, right? But first, before we dig into that, we would love to hear a fun fact from you.
Oh, sure. So a fun fact about me is that I have a twin brother. And I also share the exact same birth date and year as my fiance. So big day in September for the three of us.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So do you guys do anything extra special for your birthdays?
Actually, no. It's pretty standard birthday kind of shared amongst us. My brother doesn't live in the area anymore, so it's usually just a phone call with him. But yeah, it is kind of fun to share that day with them.
Absolutely. That's really cool. I love that. All right, well, let's dig into the topic. And I know you were a food blogger, and then you transitioned to be more of a web designer and SEO expert, correct?
Yes, yep.
So I'd love to hear that. Like, when did you start your food blog? How did you make the transition? All of that. Just give us that background, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. So I started my food blog in the fall of 2020 during the pandemic. I was working really long, stressful hours at my 9-to-5 job. And so it kind of became a fun, creative outlet and hobby for me on the side after working on weekends. And I absolutely loved food blogging so, so much. But about 2 years in or so, I realized that what I really love is the web design and the SEO piece. And so I won't say I quit my food blog. I'll say that I put it on hold because I do hope one day to come back to it. But for now, I'm definitely all in on web design and SEO. I absolutely love it. I love working with food bloggers in particular because any way that I can help, you know, help them avoid some of the mistakes that I've made absolutely makes my day. And so it was definitely a slower transition. I think I was a little afraid to take the leap, but I am so happy that I did. And it's definitely starting to pick up speed and just overall been a really fun, exciting journey.
I love the story. I love also that you didn't get discouraged enough to just throw in the towel with food blogging, that it's on hold for you and that you are just pursuing another venture and love, right? I love that story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you started up your web design and SEO business, and how is that going? And how long have you been doing that?
So it's definitely started out slow, I will not lie. Working full time, needing to really like learn the web design piece to offer it as a service. And same thing with the SEO side to build up my portfolio. It took some time, especially while I was working a 9-to-5 job. I actually had to switch my 9-to-5 jobs in the process of all of this because my 9-to-5 job wouldn't allow me to have a side business. So that slowed things down. But now I'm definitely starting to kind of pick up steam and have a consistent client base and get results for my clients. And so, yeah, it's been a really fun journey. A lot of lessons along the way, a lot more to learn.
Yeah. So you were actively food blogging for 2 years, you would say, somewhere around
exactly.
There? Okay. And 2 years is it's a while to be a food blogger. So you learned, I'm sure, a lot of valuable lessons that you're going to impart with us. So yeah, let's just talk through some of those things. What are some of the things that you learned from that experience?
Absolutely. So I would say the biggest mistake I made in blogging was not picking a clear niche and not having a proper keyword strategy in place. And on the surface, this probably sounds so vanilla because everybody is told pick a niche and have a good keyword strategy in place. But I think the interesting part about my story is I actually thought that I was doing these two things. I thought I had a niche. I thought I had a keyword strategy. But about 2 years in, I realized I was not on the right track. And so I really had to make a decision. Do I want to reset and go down the blogging path or pursue the web design and the SEO piece? And ultimately, it was a really tough decision. But like I said, I definitely plan to come back to food blogging down the line. But so to talk a little bit more about why this was such a mistake and provide kind of some more information there. My vision for my food blog was to be the go-to spot on the internet for all things easy holiday and seasonal recipes and party ideas. So the idea would be that, you know, let's just say January, my audience would say, oh, you know, like Super Bowl and Valentine's Day are right around the corner. Let's go to Sam's blog and see what she's cooking up and planning so that I can plan my party on a budget, you know, with ease and just have it be such a blast for everyone. But there was a few problems with the implementation of this all. That holiday recipes and parties is not a niche. Mm-hmm. So Google didn't know if I was an expert on Christmas cookies, holiday brownies, summer desserts, and so on. Because in the beginning, I had like maybe 6 or so posts per season. And the idea would be that eventually I would build up a library across, you know, all holidays and all, you know, food categories. And so I was just really in the beginning lacking that topical relevance. And as a new website with very little authority, you know, it takes a good while to rank. So even though I was writing Christmas cookie posts in August, Google has, you know, a million of Christmas cookie posts in its database. So why would it ever choose this brand new food blogger that wrote 2 posts about Christmas cookies when there's so many others? And so that was kind of one big learning lesson, if you will. And the next piece about that is when I chose my keywords or my kind of keyword research strategy in air quotes, I chose recipes that I wanted to create and then I found a keyword for it. So for example, I knew I wanted to make chocolate Christmas cookies. So I would go into my SEO tool and then look for keywords that had low competition with high search volume. And so I think this was a mistake. Instead, what I should have done and what I do with my clients now is I take more of a top-down approach. And I just find that this is so, so much more valuable and strategic. And so what I mean by taking a top-down approach is I'll start with a competitor in the industry or more of a seed term like chocolate chip cookies, and then work my way down from there. So for example, if we're starting with a competitor, we would then kind of find keywords that they're ranking for that have high search volume and low competition because they're already existing. We already have the data for them. And you just tend to find so many more opportunities that way. So that's kind of one piece, or just starting more broadly. And so tying this back into my holiday, you know, kind of concept of a niche, if I were to do it over, I might start with something like strictly cookies and just covering all of the cookie topics across all of the holidays and all of the seasons. And I think that would have been a way to still pursue what I loved, but also following the data and, you know, what Google needs more. One other piece to that was, I think a really big mistake was focusing primarily on seasonal content. I really don't recommend this until you have consistent, steady blogging traffic. So focusing on those evergreen keywords, because what happens with seasonal content is you might get a spike in December, but then, you know, it's a lull until maybe 4th of July or whatever the case may be. And so those spikes are so exciting and so fun to see, but, you know, it can just be quite a choppy journey if you're not starting with those evergreen keywords.
Okay. The evergreen thing is really good advice, I think, because it is so tempting to do like, oh, Christmas cookies and all the seasonal stuff because it's fun. I think a lot of us enjoy that. Were you able to switch this before you put your blog on hold, or is this something you're going to come back to eventually?
Good question. This will be something that I come back to.
Okay. So you have it kind of in the works. Do you have it? I'm wondering if you have a goal in mind. Like, are you set to restart your food blog anytime? Just curious. That's a curious question.
Oh, no problem. So it might be in the next kind of year or so.
And in the meantime, you're just going to focus on web design and SEO and kind of build that up. I love it. What if people are listening and they're just like, I didn't do this. I didn't pick a niche. I don't choose my keywords well. Is there hope for them? I know it can feel like very hopeless when listening to a podcast like this, like, oh, I did it all wrong. What would you say to them?
Oh, absolutely. Not too late. Never too late. Like, I feel like I totally could have pivoted and just put in the time and things would be totally different. But there was other factors too that kind of went into my decision to pivot. But it's absolutely not too late. I think it's really just part of the learning process of blogging. It's a very long journey, as you certainly know, and it's certainly not too late.
I love it. That's music to our ears. And I do think the niche blogs are really powerful right now, just as things evolve in our space. That seems to be a trend, that the more you niche down, or if you start like a second blog or purchase a second blog or something, that when it's really, really niche, they've just been doing really well. Have you seen that too?
Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So number one is just make sure you have a really defined niche and you're doing quality keyword research. What other mistakes did you learn, Samantha?
So the next mistake that was a big one was not having a proper SEO strategy in place. So I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, thought I got the hang of it, and then just kind of went out and implement all the things that I kind of thought that I learned. But this was a mistake because there's a lot of nuances to SEO. And piecemealing strategies from different, you know, SEO YouTubers, for example, isn't necessarily a strategy. And so, you know, there's a lot of great information to be learned from these tutorials, but it's important to take a step back and think about your goals and what you're trying to accomplish. So something that works for one person may not necessarily work for you. And so what I recommend is, you know, finding a course or a community, a mini mine, something, and kind of go all in on that, on one strategy and one approach, rather than trying to kind of piecemeal different strategies together. Because one of the things with SEO is, unlike social media, where you get instant feedback about your content and your strategy, With SEO, it is very much a delay. And so the work you do today, you might not get feedback for 3 months. And so, you know, waiting that long to find out if what you're doing is right is a really big kind of time suck. And so taking the time to join a community, grow your network, talk with others about this, I think is a really powerful approach to, you know, solidifying your SEO strategy and kind of starting to move yourself in down the right path.
Hello, food bloggers. Let's take a quick break to chat about my favorite keyword research tool, RankIQ. I love how the way I've used RankIQ has evolved over time. Here is one new creative way I have been using the tool. I go to the keyword library in RankIQ and I type in the topic of the post I'm creating or updating. An example is if I update my pulled pork recipe, I would type pulled pork into the include section and apply filter. I'd then sort from lowest to highest competition and browse through the keywords that populate starting from the top. I would pick three or so of these keywords that would help to round out my post. A couple examples, can you freeze pulled pork? And brisket versus pulled pork. Now I put those selected keywords into my pulled pork post as H2s and type my best answers to the questions underneath in body copy. This is a great way to potentially grab other low competition keywords outside the main keyword I'm shooting for. Feel free to use this strategy as well. I hope you do. Head over to rankiq.com to test it out for yourself. Now back to the episode. This one is so hard, I feel like, because there are so many voices and some are loud, some are quiet, some are bold. You know what I mean? Like, who do we listen to? And then that whole part about sticking with it, I completely agree with you, but it's so hard to stick with something when you don't know if it's working for 3 to 6 months. But this is the world we live in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will say, I guess specifically in my case, I was following more broad SEO advice, not specific to food blog. So anything related to the eBlog Talk community, the Blogging Millionaire community, I think those are really great resources that I wish I found much earlier. I was following much more kind of cookie cutter, high level, you know, maybe for like a business or an affiliate marketer solely. And so my recommendation would be to specifically, you know, immerse yourself in the food blogging community more so.
Yeah. And there are experts that emerge all the time and groups, I'm sure. But I do agree with you. I think it's important to kind of stick to one strategy. But I also think it's important to hear people out, right? Like to hear other perspectives on just, there's so many things that are included in the world of SEO. So do you find value in that too? Just like hearing what people have to say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, totally. I love getting kind of insights from all various sorts of experts in the industry, but just try not to implement all aspects of everything because you'll find, at least I found that I was spreading myself too thin. I wasn't really sure where my results were coming from, if it was coming from this strategy or that strategy. And so it's definitely great to hear all of the ideas, but, you know, try not to get too much of like shiny object syndrome of like, oh, I'm going to try this hack or that hack.
Okay, I like that. So hear people out, but kind of use your discernment to know what to go forward with and actually implement in your business.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else about that, about SEO strategies before we move on to your next point?
Nope, that was it for that one.
All right. What's next for you?
So I wasted so much time tinkering with my blog's design early on, and it was just productive procrastination at its finest. Like, I just wanted to have the most beautiful blog, and it really wasn't necessary, especially as somebody coming into it with no prior blogging experience, no food photography experience, no copywriting experience, and all of these things that I had to learn. I was putting so much time into the design, but especially as an early blogger, all you need is simple, professional, user-friendly, and searchable. That should be the focus. And once you have that, focus on all of the other things. You know, as food bloggers, we're copywriters, we're videographers, photographers, we are salespeople, marketing people. And so, you know, a website's a one-time thing that you need to do, whereas all of these other ongoing activities that you need to act really kind of invest in, like the photography and the writing, you know, focus your time more so on there and just, you know, check the blog design off as quickly as possible. Don't obsess over it early on, because I find that it can just be quite a big waste of time.
Yes. Okay. I love this one. It can be such a vanity metric, I think. And some people really prioritize that, I think, to establish what their brand is. And, you know, that's fine. But for most people, this really doesn't matter. And I'm so with you. In the beginning, I did the same thing, Samantha. I would obsess over the colors, the exact colors and the details and the logo. And oh my gosh, I spent weeks, probably months on end, just obsessing over the website. And then, you know, then it would change. Then you would change your logo up and you're like, why did I spend all that time on there? So I totally agree with this. Just, okay, repeat those words that you said, because those were gold.
So the four things that your blog should be early on is simple, professional, user-friendly, and searchable. Once it checks those four boxes, which hopefully it does very quickly because we're not tinkering with design aspects, then you're, you know, focus on the blogging piece, recipe development, videography, photography, etc.
I love that. Simple, professional, user-friendly, and searchable. So keep those in mind as you are, you know, starting those days when you're going to obsess over your blog. It really isn't necessary. Love that one so much. Okay, what other mistakes did you make?
I worked primarily in a silo, so I just didn't really connect or build my blogging network. And this is probably one of my biggest regrets with my food blog, because I think if I took the time to build that network and those connections, I would have been able to grow and learn so much faster rather than operating in a silo. There's so much to be learned from one another, and I think it's just such a powerful tool. And I've been binging your podcast in preparation for this, and I'm like, man, Sam, I really wonder how differently things would have gone if I found this in 2020 when I started my food blog.
Oh, yeah, this is a biggie. I think you're not alone with that. I was in the same boat for a really long time. I just kept thinking, I can do this. I've got this on my own. But then once you taste that magic of just connecting with people and networking, you see how powerful it is. And then you have regrets like, oh gosh, what if I would have done this from the start? So I'm with you. It is really hard to do it alone. In fact, it's not possible to really thrive, right? And do it alone. You have to have people.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So do you have recommendations for this? How do you start reaching out? I love asking people this question because everyone has different recommendations. So where would you recommend starting?
Oh, such a great question. Well, absolutely your accountability group. I mean, that may sound a little corny to say on the podcast, but I mean, what a better place to go. It seems like the perfect option. You can also join free Facebook groups that have online communities, start connecting with other food bloggers on social media, see what they're doing. That's a really great place by, you know, just commenting on their posts and say, oh my gosh, this recipe. And then, you know, maybe sending them a DM, you know, how's your blogging journey going? Like, what food blogger wouldn't love to have somebody reach out to them to talk about that?
Yes, that's great. And yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the accountability group. It's funny, I always forget to mention my own things. Like, oh yeah, that's right. That's a really great way to connect. It's a really low investment monthly subscription type situation, and people are getting really connected in there. So that's a good place to start if you just don't know where to go. Okay, that is such a great one. And then do you have any more, Samantha?
Those are really the two big ones, you know, through Facebook groups and social media would probably be my go-to spot.
Yep, those are super easy, right?
Absolutely.
And then do you have a last or a couple? You might have one or two more mistakes that you've learned from that you can share.
Yeah, so next up is I didn't take backlinks seriously as a food blogger. I just thought they applied to different industries, or I was too small to ever get a backlink from another website, and that eventually, hopefully, people would just share my recipes onto their Facebook or whatever the case may be. And I just convinced myself that I didn't need them because it was a tedious process to conduct outreach, and I should have been creating content on my own website. And, you know, if I wanted to then just buy backlinks, which is technically against Google's policy, you know, it would get expensive. And so it was just never something that I took seriously as a food blogger. And I think taking the time for this is so, so worth it, especially now looking back into it as I get more into the SEO world and help other food bloggers with their SEO. Like, the power of backlinks should not be understated. And so I know it can be really hard as a food blogger. So kind of two tips for food bloggers trying to build backlinks is start with people in your network. Like if you're part of, you know, a food blogging group or you have friends on social media, offer to write them a post for their blog and then, you know, they can write one for you. And then this way you can each get a link, you know, maybe spread it out a couple months apart or so. And it is just such a great way to, you know, reach a wider audience, build credibility of your website with Google. And as you get practice, it'll get more easy and natural to like reach out and pitch yourself to other bloggers and also just build relationships with them.
Yes. Oh, it's really easy, like you said, to ignore this because it's not something that's directly tied to creating content, right? So it's like, oh, I can put that off and think about it later. But I think that the bloggers who really do focus on getting backlinks are not sorry. They're really glad that they did it and put the effort in. I heard about, someone was talking the other day about maybe a Facebook group where you could contribute recipes from your blog into roundups or something like that. I've never done that. I'm not familiar with it, but I think something like that exists out there and that can really help to build up your backlinks too. Are you familiar with that strategy?
Yes, roundups are a fantastic way to build up your backlinks. So a couple ways you can go about finding these opportunities, whether it's a guest post or a roundup, is you can go to Google and just conduct a search for food blogger roundups or, you know, food blog guest posts and all of the variations of that. Like, you know, get a guest post for a food blog. You know, there's so many variations to kind of go down so many rabbit holes for that.
Yeah, there's so much power in roundups, even outside of just the backlinks. I do so many roundups. They're so powerful. And one of the things we do is if we, like, let's say we're putting together, I don't know, 40 side dishes to go with pot roast or whatever. And in my content, I only have maybe 20 or 25. That leaves some left, you know, that we have to fill in. So we kind of reach out to the people that, by we, I mean me and my VA, reach out to the people that I know and trust, like bloggers who I know produce really high quality content. And we just say, would you mind if we put your recipe in, you know, using all the best practices? And they're always happy to do that because they get a backlink. So doing things like that is going to make people want to give back to you when they're creating roundups. They'll think of your content. So just something to keep in mind if you are creating roundups for your content.
Great point.
Okay, anything else on that point, Samantha?
I just wanted to add that I do have an entire listing of guest blog post opportunities for food bloggers. If you're interested, you can send me a DM on Instagram or send me an email and I'd be glad to send it to you.
Ooh, awesome. That's amazing. Do you have any other points? Any other mistakes you've learned from that we can absorb?
So those were my top five. And I think not making those mistakes will absolutely help put you on your path towards your success.
Yes, agreed. I love all of these so much. If you could pick out one most important, which one would you pick out?
Ooh, I would say building your blogging network, as hard as it may be, because I think each is so, so important. But I think building your blogging network not only provides accountability, you can learn from each other, you can help each other, and just really accelerate your growth and your success in food blogging.
Yeah, that's a biggie. Learn from Samantha. Learn from me. Don't do this. Don't ignore people. Don't work in a silo like we did for a time. So there's so much power there. Well, thank you, Samantha. So I know you have this amazing web design and SEO business. How can we support you in that business? Are there offerings that you have that could support food bloggers? Why don't you talk about that?
Oh, sure thing. Yes. So I have a one-day website service for food bloggers. So you can get your website off the ground running professionally. And as we said before, searchable, user-friendly, and simple. It all goes down in one day. So it's a really easy way to save yourself so much time and just have it looking great from the start. And I also offer monthly SEO services for food bloggers. So it involves keyword research, content optimization, building backlinks together, and more. And so those are two great kind of services for food bloggers that I do offer. And you can find me at samanthadigital.com or on Instagram at samanthadigital.co.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And to end our chat today, do you have either a favorite quote or words of inspiration to share?
Oh, sure. So yes, I would say be proud of the work that you do And don't be afraid to ask for help. And remember that business is a journey and not a destination.
Oh, all such good words. Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. We'll put together a show notes page for you, Samantha. So if anyone wants to go look at those, you can head to eatblogtalk.com/Samantha Digital. And you already shared where we can find you. So thank you so much for being here, Samantha. And thank you for listening today, food bloggers. I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eat Blog Talk. Please share this episode with a friend who would benefit from tuning in. I will see you next time.